Again, thank you for being here with us this morning. Good to see everybody here. As we start 2021, we really don't know what this year is going to hold for us as a church, as individuals. We don't know what tomorrow might bring, but what I'd like to do is set some goals for us as a church through 2021. This isn't the message this morning. This is just for information, and we will have these out to you. We'll have them displayed in a variety of areas. But we need to set some sights for the year ahead. As difficult as it may be, as difficult as it has been through this past year, we want to set our sights on Jesus Christ, allow Him to lead us and guide us, to give us all that we need for life and godliness. So our first goal this next year is going to be that of prayer. I believe that that is foundational for us as a church. We need to be praying. We need to be before the throne of God. We need to be sharing our hearts with Him. And we need to do that corporately, not just individually. We need those opportunities to gather together as a church family to pray. And so there are going to be calls for corporate prayer where we have an opportunity to lift up our voices together. The fifth Sunday, when we have one of those fifth Sundays, what I'd like us to do is gather in the auditorium for a time of prayer together as a church family during our ABF hour. During this year, we're going to set up some times where we would ask you to sign up for 24, not for you in particular to sign up for 24 hours, but that you would take an hour and that you would pray during a season of prayer for our church specifically and for our nation and for moving ahead. We are going to continue with prayer night on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I can't emphasize enough that we need to gather for those times together praying. We are also going to spend some Sunday evenings quarterly as an opportunity for us to gather as a church to pray corporately. We're also going to call for an emphasis in our ABFs and life groups to make prayer a priority in those times that we gather together. So prayer is our number one priority for this year. The second goal that we have for this year is that of Bible reading and scripture memorization. And in the spring and in the fall, we're going to have some focused Bible readings that we can participate in as a church family so that we're all reading the same. The first one will lead us up to, it'll be 50 days of reading leading up to Easter Sunday, and then culminating, obviously, with Easter Sunday. I would encourage you to continue on in daily Bible reading. This is our guidebook. The Word of God is our guidebook, and it gives us the answers for life. And so I would encourage you, if you haven't picked up a Bible reading schedule, you may be a few weeks behind, but start tomorrow with wherever that schedule takes you and be in the Word daily. And then we'll spend another time where we take some Scripture and we memorize that as a church family. We did that in John chapter 15, as we had an opportunity to spend some time memorizing the Word together, and so we want to focus our attention there. Our third goal for this year, and we're going to keep it simple, it's the proclamation of the Word of God. We want to be proclaiming Jesus Christ. We want people to hear. What I would encourage is this, that you have one spiritual conversation a week. Now, that's not necessarily a full gospel presentation, but that you start these conversations with individuals, that you just start a spiritual conversation and see where God may take that. I would encourage you to share the gospel with one person a month. Just share the gospel with one person a month. Choose one unsaved person that you know and pray for that opportunity. It's interesting that if we each had that as our focus this year, and we took seriously that challenge and that goal to share the message of the gospel of Christ with one person we know, we would double our attendance next year. So will you take that challenge? And those are some of the goals we have set for this year, and we look forward to seeing how God is going to use those as we move forward. In 2021, a year that is unpredictable right now, but we want to see God's hand at work. As I said last week, I think 2021 is an opportunity for the church to have an amazing impact on our culture, on our society, with the message of Christ. And maybe God has prepared our nation and our city and our community for the gospel, and that we might see a great revival come as we get passionate about our relationship with Christ. Let's pray together this morning as we look into the Word. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have called us to be your ambassadors. Thank you for the salvation that you've provided. And thank you for the mandate that you've given us to share Christ with those who need to hear. We love you, Father. I pray that as we open your Word this morning, speak to our hearts and challenge our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of the message today is New Year, New Passion. We all have passions, don't we? We all have those things that drive us, that keep us going, that motivate us. It may be chainsaws. It may be cars. It may be fishing. It may be any number of things. It may be quilting. It may be whatever it is that just drives us, that gets us up in the morning. We're just excited about that. We're willing to talk about it. We're willing to share about it. It may be sports. Today, the Browns are actually playing their second playoff game since 1968. For you, that means absolutely nothing. But as a Cleveland fan, that means a whole lot to me today. You know, what are we passionate about? What are we excited about? I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, that God renews our passion in our lives and in our hearts for the Word of God and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that God speaks to our hearts today. Over these past months, we've really seen passion on display, good or bad. However that might be, there's these deep-seated, emotional, physical displays that have been coming out all around us. And it could be a passion, as I mentioned, for sports or cars or jobs, homes, lawns, kids, family, whatever it is that drives you. And if we had a passion meter on this stage this morning, we don't have one, and we would hook you up to that, and we start to name things, and we start to see what starts to build that emotion and that passion in you, what would it be? Would it be for God? Would it be for your Redeemer? Would it be for your Lord? Would it be for the Word of God? Would it be for those who are lost and dying around us who need to know Jesus Christ? And I pray that this year would be a year that just drives us to the feet of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that passion is built in us to be ready to share the message of Christ. So this morning we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 4, or 24, excuse me, verses 14 through 28. Let me ask you these questions this morning. What do you think God would say to you and to me today? And what would He say to the church in the United States? If God was standing here this morning and we were talking about passion, what would He say to you today? What would He speak into your life? How would He challenge you today? What do you imagine His message would be? If you imagine yourself to be part of the people of God, I would submit to you, these are questions you should wrestle with, however awkward the implication. we don't have the courage to face these questions, we're not prepared to be God's people in this season. What is our passion? What is driving us? Last week we spoke about a new year and new opportunities. Are we looking for those new opportunities? And are we keeping our eyes fixed on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What is your passion this morning? If your passion is gone, if you've lost your passion for God, how do we regain that passion? How do we come to that point where God is in the forefront of our thinking? Well, here in Joshua chapter 24, we have Joshua's life coming to an end. He's led the nation of Israel across the Jordan River. He's led them into the promised land. He's helped them to conquer the majority of the promised land. God has directed, God has driven out the enemies before them. And I'm sure there was great passion as the nation of Israel, after spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness, finally get to enter the promised land. They are standing at the Jordan River. We remember this picture. Standing at the Jordan River. The report comes back about Jericho. And that the nation, Jericho, is fearful of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. You can imagine the excitement that's there, but as Joshua speaks to the people, he spends 3 days as they prepare their hearts for battle. The Jordan River parts. They cross. The priests gather 12 stones to erect it as a memorial to what God has done for the nation of Israel, as they are moving into this land that was promised to Abraham. They had passion. And they had a heart. They didn't understand the battle plan. Let's march around Jericho for 7 days and see what God does. But they were passionate. And they yelled. And they blew the trumpets. And they followed God's direction. But here we are at the end of Joshua's life. The conquest of the land has been fulfilled for the most part. Chapter 24 begins with Joshua rehearsing the covenant. The renewal of this covenant that God had promised to make Israel a great nation. He has given them a land. But the issue with the nation of Israel, as we mentioned last week, as we read through the prophets, Israel believed in a supreme God. They believed in God Almighty. The issue was is they had other things that they worshipped also. There were these other gods that they needed to get rid of, that they needed to eradicate out of their lives. And as we get to this portion in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, starting with verse 14, the issue is still the same. The issue is the fact that they are worshiping or giving allegiance to God, but in reality there is this underlying current of we believe that these gods are as important or equal. So here is Joshua speaking to the nation of Israel. He's coming to the end of his life. And he says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to God, to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord, our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that He spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Joshua knew the heart of the people. Joshua knew the heart of Israel. He knew where they would turn next. We read in the book of Judges that they turned their hearts away from God. But for this moment in time, Joshua is saying, renew your passion for the God who led you, the God who guided you, the God who helped you and provided for you. Israel, you need to restore your passion. Church, today we need to restore our passion. We need to restore our hearts for God. We live comfortably. We live without persecution. We live without strife. We live without anything that would hinder us from sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've become lazy as a church. Not just Walnut Ridge, but every church in America, I believe. Many churches in America. May God restore our passion for His Word, for the lost, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Joshua is talking to the nation of Israel. He gathers them together. And we see a number of things here within this passage. First of all, we need to recognize that there is an issue, that we have lost our passion. What does Joshua do for the nation of Israel? Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. Put away these gods. You need to recognize that there is something interfering with your relationship with the sovereign God. Recognize this, people. Recognize this. John wrote, in Revelation chapter 3, we studied these seven churches. Two churches in particular, the church in Sardis and the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. He says to Sardis, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. And I believe that God is speaking to the church of America today, and He's saying, listen, you look alive, but you're dead. Wake up, folks. Be about the work that you have called us, that I've called you to do. Be about the mandate of the Great Commission to proclaim the message of Christ to everyone in this world. You look busy. You look alive. The reality is so often we're just shuffling the deck. We move from one church to the next, and the next church happens to be growing because everybody's left one church to go to another church. Paul tells Timothy that there's going to come a time when people want their ears tickled. And so we'll go to the next place that's going to tickle our ears. But we're not about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want our preferences met. Joshua is telling the nation of Israel, listen, you've got these gods and you need to get rid of them. You need to serve the living and true God. Recognize what is going on. Sardis, recognize the fact that you're very busy in doing your thing. You look like you're alive, but actually you're dead. Wake up. Laodicea, I know your works, but you're neither hot nor cold. Would that you be either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, and I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. We need to recognize our condition. We need to recognize that we've lost our passion for God, for the gospel, for the lost. So if I would ask you this question today, what is hindering your passion for God and His Word? How would you answer that? It was posed to the nation of Israel, you have these other gods, so you've lost your passion for the one true God. What is that hindrance in your life today that is keeping you from passionately following after God? So Joshua tells the people, you need to recognize the issue. You need to recognize that there is something in your life that needs to change. And you need to do that today. The second thing we see here is in verse 16 is this matter of repentance. We need to repent. In verse 16, then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Repentance is important because what it means is that I'm going in one direction and I need to turn around, and there is this 180-degree turn and I'm going in the other direction now. And the nation of Israel was challenged that way. No, we are going to serve our God. We're going to stop this mess and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow after. I'm going to passionately pursue God. And I think the call today for us is that also. What is it in our lives that we need to repent of? What are those things that we are hiding behind? What is the sin or habit that we need to repent of today as the Church of Jesus Christ so that God can do His work in us as individuals and in our church today? We don't hear much about that. We don't want to hear that we're sinful. We don't want to hear that there are things that are hindering our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have many ways to cover our sin. We have many ways to hide our sin. We have many ways to keep from truly being honest with ourselves and with God. We need to repent. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to say that the way that we've been living is contrary to the way and to what you have called us. To be ambassadors of the message of Jesus Christ. Read through 1 Peter. Read through the first chapter of 1 Peter. I would challenge you to do that. I would challenge you to study that book as a whole, but chapter 1 in particular, here are these exiles that are sent away from Jerusalem because they weren't fulfilling the commission that God has given them. So in God's foreknowledge, He scatters the people in Jerusalem. They are exiles now in a foreign land. They have absolutely nothing. And Peter says, listen, this is because of the foreknowledge of God. And in this state that you are in right now, live as God has called you to live, as a testimony for Jesus Christ. Oh, that people may see Christ in us, but we can't live in sin and we can't have habits that hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ and cause us not to grow and expect God to do something amazing. What is it in your life that you need to repent of today? Craig, I'll get to these questions at the end also, if you're trying to get those up. The third thing that we see, not only do we need to recognize that there is something wrong in our lives, that we need to repent of that thing that is hindering us. But the third thing we see is in verses 17 and 18, is that there needs to be this rehearsal that goes on in our lives. We need to rehearse what God has done for us. You see, Joshua is speaking to followers of the living and true God. And I believe Joshua is speaking to us today. I need to rehearse what God has done for me. How God has led, how God has guided, how God has provided, how God saw me in my sinfulness and provided a Savior for me. And as I responded to the Word of God, my sins have been forgiven. I've passed from death to life. I have a hope and a future and an inheritance. And I need to rehearse those things. I need to be reminded of those things. The man that Jesus healed of blindness, his response was, you know what? Once I was blind, now I see. We were all spiritually blind, but there was a point when we saw through the person of Jesus, through faith and trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, we need to be reminded that God is there and was there during the most difficult circumstances in our life, through the most difficult times in our lives. We need to rehearse it. And that's what happens in verses 17 and 18. The people are rehearsing. He brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt. He led us. He guided us. He provided for us. He did all of these things for us. How can we serve these other gods when the God of creation is the one who provided all these things for us and led us and guided us to this point in time? It's good to rehearse, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget all that we have in Jesus Christ. What we were before, what we are now. Some of you were saved later in life, and you recognize that change that happened when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Where would I be without Jesus Christ? So what has God brought to mind to you today? Even as we talked about this quickly, oh yeah, God was there at that moment. God was there at that time. What is it that God brought to mind today of a time when you saw His goodness and mercy toward you? Recognize the hindrances. Repent. Turn and go in the other direction. Rehearse what God has done for you. Verses 19 through 23 tell us that we need to release. We need to release it. Give it over to God. Allow Him to take control of whatever that thing may be. We need to surrender that to Him. What do the people of Israel say? We are going to forsake our gods. We are going to give them up. We are going to move them away from us. We are going to serve God. They released that thing, at least at that moment as they spoke those words. They released their bondage or their hold on those gods that were hindering them from truly following after God. And we are called to release those things in our lives that hinder us, that hold us back. We keep a heavy hold on so many things in our lives. What do you need to release today for God to speak into your life? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it fear? Is it jealousy? Is it any number of things that you just haven't released and it is just eating away at you? God is saying, give it to me. Turn it over to me. I want to free you. I want to free you of the bondage that you're in. The nation of Israel needed to recognize this. The nation of Israel needed to turn those things over. Their leader was going to be gone in just a little bit. God raised up Joshua after Moses passed away. But we read in the book of Judges that it was less than a generation that turned. And Israel was back in bondage again. They were back to their old ways. Oh, that might not be us. That as we recognize those things in our life that are hindering our passion, as we repent of those things, as we verbally repent, as we physically repent of those things, being reminded of all that God has done for us as we rehearse, that we just might release them to Him, the hurts, the pain, the struggles, the things that hold us back. May we release those. In verses 24 through 28, we see the last thing that Joshua shares with the people. He says, return. Return to your first love, if we could put it that way. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And so Joshua made a covenant with them. He erected a pillar, a place where they could go that was visible, tangible for them in their lives, that they could see and know that we've made this commitment, we've made this covenant with God, and we are going to serve Him. They returned to their first love. They returned to their first passion. As we think of this new year, as we think of all that God has done for us, as we think of how God has led us, I pray that this might not be said of us. In Revelation chapter 3, as Jesus is talking to the church in Laodicea, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear the words of the Lord. Today, as we face 2021 and all the uncertainty that's there, as we are challenged today in our faith and in our walk with Christ, is our passion level where it should be for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we ready to allow God to do His work in us? Let's ask those questions again. What is hindering your passion for God and His Word? What sin or habit do you need to repent of today? What has God brought to mind today of a time when you saw His goodness and mercy toward you? What do you need to release to God today so that He can do His work in you? And will you start this year by returning to Him? Passion of my heart and the desire for us as a church here at Walnut Ridge, that God would be preeminent in our thinking and in our hearts, that people might see Christ living through us, that we may be serious about the mandate and the call that we have on our lives as believers in Jesus Christ first, but then as the Church of Jesus Christ located here at the corner of Amesboro and Ridgeway. Will you be serious with God today? Will you examine your heart today? Where is your passion? What is your passion? I'm going to be down here in front. We don't usually do an altar call. But maybe as we think about this new year and we think about all that we may be facing, that you're thinking this morning, I need to get my life right with God. I need to surrender my life wholly and completely to Him. I need to have my church family praying for me. Maybe this morning you need to come. Maybe you need to kneel here. Maybe there's some things that you need to repent of. Maybe there are some things this morning that you need to release to God. Maybe there's some commitments that you need to make to Him. And maybe this morning this place will be that spot that you are reminded that I've erected this pillar and I've made a covenant with God this morning. That this year, He is going to be my passion. And He is going to be my life. He is going to be my all. Father, I pray that You might speak to us this morning. Pray that You might challenge us as Your church. I pray that we might be serious with You. And Father, I pray that You might speak to our hearts, that Your Holy Spirit might move among us. Father, I pray that You might do an amazing work in us as a church in 2021. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the challenge of Your Word. Preparing this week has been a challenge in my own life. To examine, to be honest, to reflect, to rehearse, to release, to repent. Father, return. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.